Let the games begin.
Carnage. Carnage.
My name is Khan.
A very warm welcome to the Carnage podcast. Of course, this is Hassan Khan, and how are you? Glad you're doing well. So we took 3 or 4 weeks out and then released our second episode, which was The Palestinian Dream. Now, this was a story about Amira who, well, was just simply staggering because, you know, in the land of war and contention, she just went through school, college, university as if everything was normal. Meanwhile, her mum had to pass through checkpoints, soldiers with carrying guns, just to get her daughter out of school. Something we very much take for granted in this country and in the Western world. Look, today I am going to be very, very selfish. Self-indulgence at its worst. Because today I'm going to turn to cricket and much closer to home, the UK. Today is a bit of a positive. I'm going to be leading you into my little world. What am I like when I play cricket and particularly when I captain the Metro Devils? Now, Metro Blind Sport will be mentioned quite a lot in this podcast. I am not representing them in this podcast because I don't represent anybody. But if you want to know more about what they do and who they are, then feel free to Google them. However, in parts of this podcast, obviously, I will be representing them because I'll be captaining the Metro Devils regional side in their first league match in 3 years. Now, honestly, COVID changed many of our lives. Some of us have had our lives turned upside down. Today, I'm going to tell you about how Metro Devils beat Surrey VICC in their first competitive league match after 3 years out with COVID, I guess, and with new faces, new challenges, and quite genuinely, we were not the favourites. And quite genuinely, there were times we should not have won that game, but we did. And were there plans in my head? Yeah, of course there were. Look, I watch over 200 games per year. Whether people like me as a cricketer or as a person, that's almost irrelevant. And people think that I talk rubbish, but I promise you this much now, my cricket knowledge is insane. Simply because I breathe, eat, sleep cricket. You're going to get to hear an interview I did after the match with two new gentlemen, Two Our Game and Two Metro, Anil and Chris. Now, they are wonderful human beings as opposed to me. So, yeah, keep it tuned in. And, well, what we're going to do is we're going to run you through my routine, how I wake up, how I get ready, what I do on match days. I've got to give a big shout out to Mujahid, who has sent in some feedback and has been lovely with what he said. Anyways, without further ado, why don't we dive straight into it and catch up with the sleepy me. Yeah, today's the day when Metro Devils take on Surrey. I just woke up. It's just gone 7:30 a.m. here in the UK. I've had lots of plans and plans for different batters and bowlers in my head, and I just need to get out of bed, get ready. I'm sure you don't want to hear my croaky voice. I'll see you on the other side. Right, I've just got to the station now. I'm sounding a lot more awake. I'm just going to get on the train, and it's going to take around 55 minutes. We'll get to North London, Highgate, grab some breakfast, and go from there and really go into the ground, catch up with friends, catch up with the opposition. So what you're going to hear is me having a chat with my vice-captain for the day, Rob McKenzie, who is a phenomenal guy. Asif, our regular vice-captain, is away on pilgrimage, so good luck to him. And I'll be chatting to the Surrey coach, the management, just really socialising. And you know what? You have to understand your team. But what I really believe, cricket's, yes, it's about the field, but it's also about the psychology. So I want to understand the opposition. So anyways, I'll see you on the other side. I've just got to catch this train.
Yes,
You've got to remember, a lot of these guys haven't been out. A lot of these guys have been isolated, are depressed, mental health, and it's been tough. So I'm going to go into the changing room.
What's Skipper?
Yo.
Come on, son. You doing your team?
I brought the bad grip. What a lot of others.
Yeah, you too.
You're a good man. Do you know how to change the grip? Oh, I am. I've never seen you excited like this.
Oh,
how are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. We've got Lois with us.
Hi, Hassan.
Lois, don't talk to me. I said on Monday, you didn't say hello.
No, all right.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
Dave Lewis, I'm
here. Alice, I've not met you before.
I don't think. How are you doing?
Yeah, good. How are you keeping? Well, you all right?
We've got nice weather for us, that's the main thing.
Well, that's all I can promise.
That and a game of cricket.
Yeah. Well, how's the rest of the guys arriving? Have you got a bus still?
We're all here apart from one, I think.
Yeah, we just waiting.
Have you
one.
Been to the changing rooms?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mo's not playing.
No.
I'll just let you know.
We've lost most of our
team.
Hello.
Hello, Joshua.
Hello.
I see you followed my lead. You're going to Linden Lodge.
Yeah.
How's it going?
Yeah.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, it is.
I've been hearing good things about you from Jack and Joe.
Yeah.
Especially from Joe.
Yeah.
How are you, Min?
Good, thanks.
Good. Oh, you're the superstar fielder. Where's Leanne?
Hello.
Hello, Leanne. Have you got a doggy? Doggy, listen. You won't be coming out to bat today, will you?
Dog.
Oh, she's so gentle.
Hassan's a bit more lively, my dog.
Oh, what's his name?
Buster.
You want a serious chat?
Yeah.
Oh, hold on then.
Yeah. Tell me, what you thinking?
Clifford, the big red dog. It's like one of his holes that he's got.
I think with that kind of dodgy batting, Nick, you're probably 11.
Yeah.
He's not hitting hard enough. He's leaving him. He's defending him.
He's definitely all funny,
he's
like the other way around.
Yeah, he's definitely below you, Maka. Yeah, you're definitely batting stronger. Well, so let's judge him on this one. Oh, that's 12th man, caught behind. No, Jack. Just what I said in the call. In the call.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you to defend it. Depending on the match situation, keep the ball down. Even if for your batting personal perspective, I'd say score your first 10 runs, not aerial. Just for as a cricketer, it'll give you so much confidence just having runs behind you. Remember that game where you scored 30?
Yes.
Do that for the first 10, 15 balls.
Yeah.
And then, depending on the match situation, whoever's out there with you will talk to you and say, look, because I know you're very experienced and you listen to a lot of cricket, but in blind cricket, you're still new.
Yeah, I know that.
So, I would say just score your first 10 runs by not trying to smash it.
So yeah, I'm 8, which is great. I'm
probably probably 7 now.
7 now, okay.
But that can change in a game.
Yeah.
If you're chasing a score and you're close or it's coming up for draw, anything can happen into cricket. You guys watch cricket, you'll know if we're 20 for 3, there will be changes.
Yeah.
It has to. The 5, 6 and 7 will be you, me and Shiv.
Right.
Which way around? I don't know, but probably more likely to be you 7.
Okay.
Me and Shiv 5 and 6.
Okay.
I'm Roger Day.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm Yolanda.
Hi, Yolanda.
So, we know what we're doing, maximum 9 per over.
Yep.
Apart from the last two overs, which will
go up.
Be 25 and 26. Do you want to toss, young man? I'm insisting on you catching it as well.
Mate, I can't catch a ball, let alone. £2 coin is. And I went, okay.
No, that's half crown, that is.
All right, well, David's going to call. David, ready?
It is ahead.
Field.
You're going to field.
All right, good luck, boys.
Good luck.
Boys, this is our first league match in 3 years. All right, so well done for making it here. I've answered quite a lot of questions privately. Just to repeat myself quickly again, what Nick was asking me. There's 26 overs, okay? We have won the toss and elected to bat. We lost the toss. They put us in. Before we talk about bowling, we'll do that after tea. The batting order at the moment looks like this. Obviously, anything can happen in a game. At the moment, it is Prem and Chris to open. Amit's at 3. Okay. Everton's at 4. Either Shiv or I are at 5 and 6, depending on the match situation. Okay. Anil's at 7. Anil, I spoke to them. You can have a runner.
That's me.
It's me running for you.
Eight is Alan. Nine is Ahmed. 10, Maka. 11, Nick. Thanks to Nick for giving up a Saturday and helping us out,
Nick. Would you like to run all the time?
I also have to say we haven't got official caps, but to Shiv, Anil, Chris, this is your first competitive league match, so welcome aboard the Devil's Party. All right, we'll go out. I know we've said it before. I've just got to do a quick presentation. I have to apologize. Prem here. Prem, I have to profusely apologize because you were the regional player of the year last year. Unfortunately, between us, we've kind of mislaid your trophy. We will get that back.
That's entirely my responsibility.
Okay, but I didn't want to say that. No, we're really sorry. But I just want to say that we've been thinking of you, especially with the passing of your mum. And I know I, for one, am playing for her today. Right? And boys, I just want to give you this bat as well for your birthday. So happy birthday from the Devils. Happy birthday. And boys, just go out there and enjoy. Boys, go out there and enjoy yourself and play the conditions, all right? It's all about having fun.
Yeah. So, guys, opening, that's the time. We've got 26 overs.
Yeah.
So take your time. You know, there'll be lots of oohs and ahs. Settle in. And, you know, just... Yeah, take time, get miles in their legs because it's hot.
Yeah.
And if they're out there, you know, we want to bat the full 26 overs.
That's right.
Look at their fielders, the ones that can catch. Yeah. And also, play sensibly. You don't need to hit out first ball over.
Do we retire 50?
So take your time, Openers, you want to retire at 50.
Retire 50. Boys,
even
go through 50.
10 overs, all good.
That's
if one of you sort of retire, it'll be good. A little bit of safety net.
Yeah.
Boys, just play them.
Prem's
one. All right then, boys. Go well, Chris. Go well, Prem. Just a quick summary of the first innings then. Prem and Chris went in, and Prem was sadly run out by their captain. And we will work on it in the nets. I know he was disappointed, but, you know, it's not anyone's fault. These things can happen in a game. Chris played really well for his 29. Amit then swung round and hit the ball into his own stumps. And we were starting to crumble at that point. Everton went in and tried to play a few reverse sweeps. It was then later LBW. Now, we were 83 for 3, and I thought, I've got to go in and I will bat to 20 overs. Now, obviously, you can get a demon delivery, a wonderful run out and a sensational catch. But that was my genuine plan, hand on heart. Now, my critics will say the 24 that you scored, well, it was too slow. Yeah, but there were wides being bowled. And I knew that if we could get over 150, it'd be a fighting score. Wouldn't be enough, or if we put up a real fight, you never know. And that was my approach, but couldn't have done it with Anil. When he came in, I said to him, look, Anil, just stay with me, see ball, hit ball, just sensible cricket. Let's just take it to the 20th over. And when we got to the 20th over, I said, Anil, calculated risk. But I wasn't in the mood for calculated risk because I knew I had the sensational Nick Ebbuck at number 11. And if he could nick 15, 20 runs at the end, well, then that will get me an extra batting point and a fighting chance. And Anil supported me wonderfully, scoring a brisk 21. I scored 24. Chris scored 29. So, look, can we improve? Absolutely. But did we win the game? Anyways, let's go over to myself during the tea break. It's been 3 years and I've been really looking forward to this moment. It was a real special first innings, and I want to thank Surrey, Mark, Asma, Steve, and the boys and girls that you brought today were a true credit to themselves. The way you applied yourself when you were bowling and fielding, and your banter, your communication, just overall, I was very proud to play with you and bat out there. So well done to the Surrey team. umpires, thank you very much to Roger, Yolanda, and of course Paul Topless, we can't ever live without. They are absolute rocks to us, so thank you very much. Without you, this game wouldn't happen. Obviously the Devils, I know the last 3 years have been very dark for one or two of us, maybe more of us, and so, shut up, there's a blind joke, Roger, but these boys have really worked hard. And I want to thank them for their commitment as well. So thank you so much. Of course, last but not least, I've been looking forward to the sponge cake. Josanne and her team have done a sterling job again. Thanks ever so much for coming down and catering for us. And if I've missed anyone else out, then apologies. But well done to all, and hope for a competitive, good match. So good luck to all. Cheers.
Yeah. You want to throw your plate?
Oh, I've got a banana left.
You must have realised that.
No.
Fantastic. I think she might. Can you also do the winning speech now? That's.
Yeah, look.
Yeah, Amit, you are.
Amit, honestly, where's this comedy when we're playing for Metro?
He's very quiet, eh?
Maka?
Yes, bro.
Do you want to talk to me about the first over? Whilst
you got, if you're happy, yeah. Another level.
Are you playing? You plan to first over today or?
No, we've been planning it since Wednesday.
Shall we talk about it then? What you heard there, us talking about the first over. What a fantastic match. Honestly, an advert for VI cricket for cricket. If that was a county or an international match, that would be aired again and again. It was like up and down, swinging all around. Oh, I nearly went into song then. Honestly, it was sensational. So in the first over, Maka bowled to Lois, one of their best batters in the team. She launched one to square leg where Nick Ebbick took a diving catch. We then had a lefty on strike and Nick ran him out from square leg. He had one stump to aim at. And I bet you now he's dreaming of it as we speak. And then I've got to give a big shout out to my B1 Ahmed, not Amit, Ahmed, who was fantastic because I brought him on to take another kingpin of theirs, Dave Allen, and he bowled a low Yorker, like I told him. That's the thing. The boys were phenomenal because they listened to everything I said. Everything I had planned in my head almost went to plan, apart from the first four wickets, and that was not in the plan. I think they had 5 run outs, and we ended up winning the match by 23 runs. It is so unfair to give a shout out to just one player or two players. So what I really should do is just give a shout out to Metro Cricket Club, and especially to the following 11 players who made themselves available and were absolutely sensational in everything they did. Prem, Chris, Amit, Everton, Shiv, Anil, Alan, Ahmed, Maka, Nikki, Paul Topless, Hashmuk, who I've got to say congratulations for playing for as long as you have, and you're a credit to yourself. So look, I had a chance to finish this podcast by interviewing Anil and Chris, the two superstars from this match, and it was their first match. So let's hear from them. Hello, boys. How are you?
Hello, I'm good, thank you.
Good, thank you very much, Hass.
I have alluded to this throughout the podcast. It was our first league match in 3 years. Of course, it's your first league match for Devils. Could you talk me through what experiences you've got of playing blind cricket, what your expectations were going into this game, I guess? Chris, if I may come to you first.
Well, I started last season. There was a couple of friendly matches. I think it was the 2020 at Dorset Dolphins, which, you know, was my first game, and that was a huge eye-opener. And so I have little experience, but I was really looking forward to the match, you know, really excited. And it was a great day, and the weather was fantastic, and you could see everybody was up for it. And from my own personal perspective, I wanted, you know, to bat well, because Captain Hass told me that my primary role was to bat. So I was really focused on trying to keep my nerves under control and, you know, do a good job for the team.
You were opening the batting, and just to explain to those of you listening, obviously Chris, I consider him as an all-rounder, but with the Devils, there are a lot of boxes that we want to tick. We want to have fun. We want to develop players. We want to get players ready for Metro. But in addition to that, we also want to win. And added to that is we want to give everyone a go. So Chris,
is a bowler, good fielder, batter, but he opened the innings with Prem. Chris, so your background's been VI tennis. How is that different to tennis in terms of playing in a team sport now?
It is hugely different because in tennis, it's you are the team. You know, you are your own coach, sports psychologist, you know, physio, and, you know, you have to sort of, you know, run around and hit all the balls and, you know, cope with the emotional ups and downs of the game. So you're involved in every point. But with cricket, it is a team sport. And I revel and I enjoy the team sport and all fighting together. And, you know, as the match proved, there's sort of, you can get angry with yourself very easily on a tennis court, you know, through your own incompetence or if you hit a bad shot, but you can sort of try and rectify it and bring it back around. But on, you know, like on the match, certain players perhaps didn't do great things, but then later in the match, they did brilliant things. But you just got to stay with your team, be there, be supportive. And so I really enjoy that. I really enjoy, you know, the team aspect of the game and, you know, being enthusiastic for all your teammates. So it's, you know, it's one of the sort of, I suppose, drivers of cricket, you know, because my original background, when I was sighted, I played team sports more, I played football and also played tennis then, but it was more football. So it is different, but it's different in a good way.
Anil, that must have been an eye-opener as well, because I had a chat with you before the match and I said to you that I want to get you some bowling. You'll be coming in at 7 or 8. Now, in that position, you're either going to be in when we are in deep trouble or we're at the end of an innings when we're looking for runs and therefore you have to improvise. So you join me on the crease. Effectively, we're almost like in the middle of an innings trying to lift the team. Tell me what that was like for you going into your first competitive match and the team in trouble, really.
It was quite nerve-wracking, I have to say. But as you said earlier, you know, you gave me sort of pointers in what to sort of look out for and what to sort of psych myself up with to keep calm and just think about enjoying the game, but also looking at helping the team do well. I also had some support from Macca. And as I walked up to the wicket, I think you gave me a pep talk in terms of what we're looking to do and for me to sort of keep calm and do the best that I could. As I've sort of carried on batting, I got more and more confident.
I mean, Chris has mentioned tennis there and you've mentioned Macca, myself and your other teammates. I think that's the difference, isn't it? You've got guys to lift you when the chips are down. And whereas in tennis, Chris, I guess you're on your own and you've got to motivate yourself. I mean, I know, Neil, you're a sailor, you've done sailing. How would you boys compare those sport to cricket?
Sailing and cricket are very, very different, as you can imagine. Sailing was probably my first real activity, having a go at a visually impaired sport. And there you've always got someone there that's acting as your eyes to make sure you don't hit anything. But what you do is you learn how the sails actually operate. You're very much reliant on the actual weather there and seeing what happens then and then reacting to that. With tennis is very, with the cricket is very different in that you know what the goal is, you know what you've got to do, and you know the parameters around that. The weather could have an impact, but not as much as when you're sailing. And here also, you're working as a team. When you're fielding, when you're batting, when you're bowling. And although in sailing you're working as a team, it's very, very much reacting to the weather conditions.
To anybody listening to this, obviously international blind cricket works in a different way. There are far more categories in our league game. We play with a size 3 football, bowling overarm. What are your ambitions in playing blind cricket?
I mean, I'm going to be the best person on the cricket pitch I can be. I mean, I enjoy bowling, I enjoy batting, and I enjoy fielding. And I suppose we're all at sort of kind of different levels. So the bowling, I think, is probably moving or progressing more nicely at the moment. The batting still needs, you know, lots of improvement, lots more confidence. And the fielding, you know, is getting better each game as I learn more. And, you know, I've got great teammates around, you know, including yourself, Aston, the likes of Rory and Nick, who give you little tips and hints and stuff. And Mo's, you know, very helpful with the bowling. So my ambition is just, I like competitive sport. my sort of bit of context for me is that I've sort of stopped playing tennis indoors because I can't see the ball now, given my eyesight has deteriorated. But I can sort of play cricket because it's outdoors, and that kind of suits my eyes a little bit more, even though, you know, bright sunlight is an issue and glare is still an issue. I need sort of kind of flat light to play well. So each is challenging, and it's, you know, it's emotionally and physically engaging, and, you know, I thoroughly enjoy it. You know, I just want to do more. I just want to bat more, I want to bowl more, I want to feel more. I just want to be more involved and, you know, move the team forward and help the team move forward, you know, whichever role I have to play. So it's just all a big learning curve for me at the moment. And, you know, I find it very, very exciting. You know, I'm engaged and it makes, you know, I think about it a lot. And, you know, I sort of practice some shadow swing and as much as I can and keep myself fit. You know, my body was built to play tennis the most recently over the last few years, so I'm sort of rebuilding a little bit so I can play cricket and cope with the demands of cricket. So it is, you know, I'm all in at the moment, I'm trying to be the best I can be.
Chris, thanks for giving us your WhatsApp status there. I'm all in. One of your best quotes probably was to live in the moment, and I think, yeah, we were joking, but it was. I mean, it was a tough match and we had to live in the moment. We had to back each other, and there were moments where we were so flat. And then there were moments where we were up as a team and together. Now, Anil, if I may come to you, obviously you've got the competitive side. Game of cricket isn't just physical, it's also mental. It's how we map, shape the game when we're talking as much as we are when we're playing. But there is a great social side to it, isn't there? Because winning obviously brings morale and fun and enjoyment. We went to the pub afterwards. What do you think of that aspect?
I mean, one of the reasons I actually started taking up VI sport was because of the social side. What we did after playing the game was really, really good because it gave me an opportunity to learn and chat with other people in terms of what they sort of find in terms of cricket, what they like about it. Also to get tips from them in terms of how to play better. So partly it was social, but partly it was also looking at ways in which I could improve and how I, as Chris said, help the team to do better. But the social side was really good. I really enjoyed that. And it also allows you to make new friends. And once you make those new friends, you have sort of different contacts and so on and do different things. So with Metro, I've actually been able to do cricket, football, tennis, cycling. So it sort of leads on to other activities. So there's some more social stuff you do, it leads into making more friends, but those friends will then do other activities, we then join in with them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the thing you mentioned about making friends. You know, most of my friends are actually from cricket. We don't just play cricket, we go out for dinners, we have breakfasts, we go and watch cricket. And that's the wonderful thing about cricket, I guess. Do you know, when we played that match, how many nationalities, different countrymen were on the pitch?
There were quite a few.
In our team or in both teams?
No, on just against Surrey.
That's five or six.
Yeah, six.
I would have said about the same, yeah.
Six different nationalities and countrymen in a team of 11, which I think is beautiful, don't you? Because it's bringing all different backgrounds. It's giving us the opportunity to understand different cultures, whether we know it or not, on the day, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, we had a conversation on Saturday about races, and that shocks and appalls me that such things happen, and that, you know, you've got to respect everybody and respect everyone's ability, and that the fact that some people don't do that, I find abhorrent. And you know, I think, as you say, Hass, rightly so, that the multicultural nature of you know, the Devils team is a positive, and it's good, you know, it's enhancing.
Yeah.
Just quickly, tell me, what are your ambitions, and where do you think you both see yourselves in a year in terms of your cricket, how it's helped you in your personal lives as well? So there's about three or four questions in one there. Anil, if I can come to you first.
My original aim was to play cricket and have a bit of fun, become a bit more physically fitter than I am, and also to make new friends. But with sort of playing the games, with actually doing the practicing nets that we do, and all the tips that I've got from yourself, from Macca, Nick and others, I've really sort of felt part of a team, and part of by feeling part of a team, I felt I want to be a bit more competitive, improve my game. I definitely want to improve my batting. Bowling is something that I do struggle with a bit, because when I was about 11, 12, I used to play with sighted friends, and I was visually impaired, but we always used to use the standard cricket ball. I was useless at fielding. I was useless at batting because I couldn't see the ball, but I was pretty good at bowling, and I was to be a pretty good spinner. But having this much bigger ball, I'm really sort of struggling with that. So that's one thing I'd really like to sort of improve on.
You know, I do find it's enjoyable. You know, it does enhance your life. You know, it gives you a focus, gives you a target to train towards, a target to achieve. And I, you know, in terms of like wanting to each game be better than you were before. So my expectations go up a little bit. I've just got to keep managing them and just enjoy it, have the fun, keep the fun element up, keep the competitive element up, you know, the team camaraderie, you know, all for one.
I mean, as I was saying earlier, I wasn't really that competitive, but when we won that, my first sort of the first game I played competitively, it was a great feeling. It really was. It was exhilarating to come out of the first game and win. So I think what I'd like to do is to keep winning.
Do you know what the other thing I've noticed is how many players, you know, when they're on the phone to their wives and their families and they're telling them who they got out and how they did. That, for me, puts it into perspective. It makes me think that we're doing something right here at Metro. Because, you know, I'm sure club cricketers and international cricketers make the same calls, but it just seems so special that guys in their 20s to anywhere in their 70s are proud of what they're achieving on the field. Do you think that your families are and have bought into the idea of you guys playing cricket, and are they proud of what you're achieving?
Absolutely, yeah. My wife was very, very excited when I told her we won against Surrey, and all the three children, I WhatsApped them to say how I did, and they came back with phrases like, "We're really proud of you, Dad. You made a great achievement in your old age." So now they've been really buying into it.
Exactly. I mean, that's what I was saying. You know, when I first joined Metro, there was these 20, 30, 40, 50-year-olds, 70-year-olds playing cricket and sharing their experiences with not just the players, but with their families. How about you, Chris? I think I kind of snuck in a quick listen to when you were on the phone on Saturday night on the train.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Claire and I've got my wife and my son. They don't care whether I win, lose or draw. I mean, I think they're happy that I'm engaged and fully, you know, emotionally charging into the sport. And, you know, they want me to do well. And, you know, when I got selected for Metro on Saturday, you know, I told my son Henry and he said he was impressed, you know, which was good. But, you know, I do it because I love the sport, and my family, you know, would love me, you know, whether I got a duck and got hammered for 50, you know, bowling and dropped six catches, you know, they wouldn't care really. But obviously you've got your own self-pride that comes into play, and you want to do well anyway. And I'm sure they'd prefer me to sort of, you know, perform better than badly. So, you know, it's good. I mean, I always enjoy sport, and I can bore people to death talking about sport and, you know, the mental approach and all the rest of that stuff. And my family kind of switch off, but I think they're jubilant that they can see that I'm engaged and happy and, you know, enjoying it. And that's the main thing. There's a huge amount of enjoyment. So, yeah, loving it.
Cheers, boys. Yeah, I'm going to put that into perspective. Chris, you've recently bowled to England's captain. You've bowled to one of the world's best wicketkeepers and induced two edges from on Saturday, which we should have held on to. And Anil, similarly, you raised the partnership with myself, which ensured that we won. You were facing the UK's or England's blind ladies captain. So you boys are achieving already by your own rights. And I can't wait to actually catch up with you socially. I know we're hopefully looking at going to watch cricket together and spending more time together. So thank you so much, boys. And just keep up the good work.
You're welcome, Hass. And thanks for all, you know, back to you as well for all your enthusiasm and wise words and encouragement and eloquent you know, captain speeches to get us motivated.
I'd echo what Chris has said. So thanks for bringing me on, and thanks for having confidence in putting me to bat. So thank you very much for that, Hass. And, you know, definitely love to watch cricket with you. Be great. And keep us focused, as you did with the game at Surrey.
Can I just say how proud I am right now? These two gentlemen are older than me, and from the background and the culture that I'm from, I have always respected my elders, but particularly these two gentlemen. They are absolute lovely blokes, and I keep calling them boys because they are a part of the team, and they are boys, of course. Hey, listen, that was fun, and whether you're the Metro family, Anil's family, Chris's family, I would love some support in you listening to the podcast and giving me 5 stars. I'm not seeking money or anything like that from my podcast. If it ever comes off, great. But it's just self-satisfaction and confidence and the will to continue and giving people the platform. So until next time, keep it carnage.
I'll be back.
Sounds about right.
Hassan Khan, as he hits this out of the park.